It's the Dr. Bill Deagle Show, presented by NutraMedical.com. Call live 818-818-6401.
Bannon.
The Rubio effect, eh? Yeah.
And we're coming back with Harley Schlanger. Harley, I got to give you approbations because you're right again. And despite all the media, including Fox News, all in a big panic over the fact, they withdrew the extradition to Chinese courts, and the protests continue because they're supported directly by George Soros. Soros needs to be in a very deep, dark prison and not get daytime or have a laptop or interviews for books, or even his son, who's now taking over a lot of his nasty business, trying to do a lot of the things that Soros did, even in conjunction with our CIA. People don't realize it was actually a standing agreement to work with SAD, the Special Activity Division of the CIA, and the CIA and regime change, like in Ukraine, and that, in fact, Soros is still doing it around the world with his billions of dollars, and he's writing it off through foundations to actually do regime change and bring about his version of globalism. And to be honest with you, when the problem's solved in Korea, in Hong Kong, it's continuing only because George Soros is funding the protests. And even some of the local people there, like Mr. Lee, who's one of the media billionaires, and even the so-called terrorism against him, is all designed to actually whip up everybody to tribalize them in one group or another. But in fact, it's not a problem. Just like I'm sure that Trump's going to come up with a deal with Xi that allows us to have intellectual property protection, allow us to collaborate on the Belt and Road Program, allow us to actually expand world trade and probably fix currencies so we have a fixed currency exchange so we no longer have tariff and non-tariff barriers. And the problem's probably going to get solved in the next few months. I'm really surprised that, you know, they always want to say something. Usually they deteriorate to the point where they say he's a racist because he's got a solution now to a problem. Or when the problem disappears, like in Hong Kong, and they still protest, the news media never roll back their comments about it, do they? They never come back and say, you know, we were wrong. No, they never approach that, do they?
Well, there are a couple points to make. One, the first is that your listeners need to look up a man named Gene Sharp. S-H-A-R-P.
Right.
He's the guy who coined the term color revolution. And he's worked for years with British intelligence, with the CIA. And what he came up with was a strategy of how you take local legitimate grievances
right.
and use them to bring in deeper issues and use innocent people as shock troops to carry out regime change.
Right.
And that's what we saw in Ukraine, that's what we saw in Syria, there are reasons people might not like the Assad regime, but until the weapons were being poured in by networks connected to the CIA and
right.
trainers sent in, there was no civil war.
Right.
There was no mass refugee problem from Syria when Assad was there before the civil war.
Right.
And a lot of the people who left the country because of the civil war want to come back now that there's peace.
Right.
So this guy, Gene Sharp, invented this idea of color revolution. And besides Soros, the other leading funding operation for it is something called the National Endowment for Democracy,
used
to be called Project Democracy. It was set up by Republicans to fund regime changes through the State Department, and they were very much involved.
And we have to understand that the Republicans are globalists as well, and these are another sort of the bad side of the two-legged beast. There's a right leg, or a GOP leg, and there's a left leg, or a communist leg, in the Democratic Party, but they're both bad, aren't they?
Well, the National Endowment for Democracy is Democrat and Republican, but it works very closely with another group called the International Republican Institute, the IRI, and they provide funding, training. They flew some of the leaders of the Hong Kong demonstrations to the United States to meet with Pompeo. So that's one point. Now, the second point, though, and this is something that is sort of a follow-up from what we were discussing last week about these things such as the synthetic hegemonic currency and the merger of fiscal and monetary policy, the scams that have been invented by the global bankers. One of my associates, Paul Gallagher, came up with a very brilliant proposal that would address both the trade question and also attack this approach of the central bankers. What he suggested is that Trump and Xi Jinping should sit down for a couple days of meetings and hammer out an agreement to create a fixed parity relationship between the yuan and the dollar. That if you did that, it would end these charges of currency manipulation. It would undercut those people who are speculating based on troubles in Hong Kong or the trade deals looking good or looking bad. But more importantly, it would serve as the basis for a new monetary system outside the power of the central bankers and the private bankers. Because if the U.S. and China did this, that is, reversed what was done in 1971 by Nixon, then it's very likely that other countries would want to join and add their names to these fixed parity relationships. If that happened, we would not only save the dollar as a reserve currency, which is the target of the central bankers now is the dollar, but you'd not only preserve the dollar, but you'd establish the basis for credit going into real physical production, which is ultimately the way to guarantee a currency. You have an economy right. that's sound. So right. I think this proposal by Paul is quite brilliant, and you can find it on the LaRouche PAC website. It's the proposal for a solution to the U.S.-China problem.
Yeah.
So I would recommend people take a look at it. And again, the key point is that by breaking the fixed relationships between currencies, the fixed exchange rate, which Nixon did in 1971.
By breaking he broke that currency exchange lock then, right?
Yeah. And he did it by removing gold as a reserve for the dollar.
Right.
As soon as that was done, speculators could move in. People who had dollars could buy up other currencies and then dump them, short them, do whatever speculators do to make money. And once you turn currencies into a commodity, you can control what happens in a country. Once they did that, they proceeded to other forms of so-called financialization, such as mortgage-backed securities and so on, until we got to the point that you were trading paper that had no relationship to anything of value, but that nobody knew how you determined the face value on the financial instrument, and yet people traded it because they assumed that it had some value.
Right.
You know, the very term derivative means something that's derived from something that's tangible, but has no tangible value in itself.
Right.
So, you know, if you do that, why not just set up a phony digital currency to replace the dollar that's completely in the hands of the central bankers?
That's what they're talking about now, actually. And you hear that with some of the people in the reserve. But by the way, only during Obama they didn't change the reserve rate, but they have. And now you see Libra, which is this new currency that's put by Facebook. It's just a tentacle of the beast. And people don't understand this. The bankers want to maintain total control because ultimately the world is controlled by banks. They control the intel agencies and the governments of the planet. And the banks have more negative influence on the world in terms of even starting wars than anybody else, haven't they?
Well, and what this means is that the central bankers are trying to come up with a scam to give them more money to keep the bubble inflating.
Right.
So that they can continue to buy and sell worthless instruments that can give them profits from the bubble.
So in other words, you're trying to create new bubbles. It's like arriving at a birthday party because you ran out of balloons and somebody's got a big packet of new balloons. And that's what they want, new balloons.
And the underlying theory, this modern monetary theory, is a sort of Keynesian on steroids, the idea that you can extend credit in an unlimited way without causing a problem. And the only potential problem is hyperinflation, but if you watch it, you can cut it off before it hits. Now, one of the things that's absolutely ridiculous about this theory is it's being sold to people, and I'm getting people commenting to me on this with this line that, well, they're doing this, they're going to hyperinflate the economy, not just for the bankers, but for everyone, so that everyone will be able to have some additional money. Now, the problem with that is very straightforward. Why would they give ordinary people some kind of access to cheap or zero interest credit? Because then people will spend it,
right,
which will go into the bubble, but it will be an additional debt that they have to take care of later on.
Right.
So it's a way of keeping the debt bubble afloat as just as an example of a modern Ponzi scheme.
Exactly. In other words, well, this was one of the things that happens with student loans, for example. They force students and universities to have no restraint whatsoever in raising rates faster than inflation. Students borrow a lot of money because they figure if they don't have a degree, they're never going to get a good job. So they get in debt up to their eyeballs, and then they can't get out of debt because even if you go bankrupt, you don't get rid of your student loan debt. Well, this
and
is the thing.
A good job anyway.
Right, and of course they should start apprenticeship when the first year they go into college or some other technical school, because if you start apprenticeship on your way as you're going through school, they'll help you select the right courses so that when you finish your so-called academic training, you're ready to actually transition to a place where you're being a full apprenticeship. But I don't see that, and that could be an easy thing. That would be an interaction between industry right now, and again, remember, 90% of the new jobs 10 years from now haven't even been invented yet. It's going to be a collaboration between industry and educational institutions, including online. What we see happening is the bankers don't want an ultimate solution. The ultimate solution, and LaRouche put this out decades ago, we need to go back to a gold standard. We need to go back to locked international exchange rates. Then we can work on trade issues easily. And it should be bilateral, not multilateral, so that we can have a kind of an exchange day every year. We talk about exchange with currency.
And Bill, you start with bilateral, because if you take the two biggest powers in the world economically,
right,
the U.S.
exactly.
and China, and they reach an agreement, then they're going to expand trade. Because
exactly.
there's not going to be a concern about currency manipulation,
exactly.
values going up and
down. It's so simple, but the problem is, you see, it's almost like walking into a room and somebody's bleeding, and they say, well, and you're in a hospital and someone's bleeding because they cut themselves in the operating room, let's say, and the nurse says, you know, why don't we just lean over and put pressure on the bleeding site until we can kind of clamp it? And nobody's wandering around like, oh, I need an instrument. No, you don't. You need to take your hand and push on the spot. It's like, it's so simple, they want to avoid the solution, isn't it?
Well, it's not that they want to avoid the solution. They're the cause of the problem, and they
exactly. That's my point.
And so they don't want anybody else to know that all their scams are designed to perpetuate the problem that they created.
Exactly.
And so that's where you see the problem. The average person says, well, I don't know squat about economics. All I know is I can't pay
exactly.
the end of the month. I don't have money for food, for health care.
Right.
My children moved in with me. My sick yeah. mother-in-law's moved in with me. What do I do? And, you know, someone says, well, we'll give you a new credit card. They say, great, I'll take it. And that's what, you know, that was part of the buildup to 2008. And, of course, the people who created 2008 blamed the greed of the person who accepted the new credit card, without realizing that people did that because they were desperate and were looking for some way to stay afloat.
Well, this is why we have the advance of the younger people wanting socialism. They want socialism because the bubble economy is chewing away at them, including the cost of college, the cost of housing, and the fact that the middle class hasn't advanced in actual real buying power in 40 years in the actual money that the middle and lower classes have. And so the bubble economy has benefited, to some extent, the speculators at the top of the banking system, but very few people otherwise, right?
Well, but I don't think that younger people in general are gravitating towards socialism. I think we're seeing a certain activist core.
Oh, yeah, I agree with you, but I'm just saying that they're under pressure because
yeah,
they say that 35% of males are still at home with their parents at 35 years of age.
Yeah.
And the reason is because they can't afford to have an apartment or a home outside. And they can't afford to even have kids, even if they're married, they can't afford to. So the population, the number of new babies being born is dropping, primarily due to financial pressure on young couples that can't afford to actually do the things that ordinarily they do 30 or 40 years ago.
And you're right about that. But what I'm saying is that if people have it explained to them that they're never going to get out of debt with these Bernie Sanders or Elizabeth Warren policies, they're never going to get decent jobs, the green economy cannot sustain a high employment with productive wages. It can't. And so if they buy into this, they're buying into their own immiserated future. But I think if you explain this to people...
Exactly. Keep that thought. Amazing revolution. You are right again, as I said, Harley. Write again about Hong Kong and China.
Do have difficulty taking supplements? Are you searching for a high-quality, complete nutritional drink that your whole family will love? NutraMedical's Life Support has arrived. All of your daily nutritional requirements in one quick, delicious drink. Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support is a proprietary blend of vegan protein, activated vitamins, essential minerals, amino acids, probiotics, green tea, digestive enzymes, anti-inflammatories, cancer prevention, detoxification, and much more. Your body will high-five you for this one. Life Support is the best complete nutritious meal replacement on the market. Whether you are an elite athlete, have post-operative challenges, chronic illness, elderly, or a family that just wants a quick, delicious drink, try Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support for optimized nutrition in one great-tasting smoothie. Just add cold water, almond milk, fruit, or anything else you like. NutraMedical's Life Support. Try our great-tasting chocolate or vanilla today. Call 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutraMedical.com. NutraMedical.com for the whole family.
Red Deer Velvet DR is an amazing new product with a patent to preserve 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones, same as fetal life, where you don't age at all. The state of fetal life allows the 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones produced by the placenta to be supportive of the regeneration of tissues and organs, with maximum apoptosis changing the tissue and organ structure of a fetus. That's why if fetal surgery is performed, there is no scar. Taking 2 to 3 capsules twice a day with oncomycin, myco D2, provides an amazing support for regeneration of any tissue and organ in the body, and even advanced stem cell therapy support treatment. Do get NutraMedical's Red Deer Velvet DR from Dr. Bill Deagle at NutraMedical.com, NutriMedical.com, 888-212-8871. Stay well and stay young with NutraMedical. Lumen Photon Therapy, infrared light, far and near infrared, is extremely important for pain control, stimulation of nitric oxide, improved perfusion, and stem cell activation and reduction of cytokines. Dr. Bill uses it for pain control, for regeneration techniques, for organ regeneration, and for stimulation of your stem cell activity. This amazing Lumen Photon Therapy this year will probably have an additional device with frequency therapy during the on phase of the lights. To obtain a Lumen Photon machine, contact Dr. Bill at NutraMedical.com, 888-212-8871. He'll prescribe it with you, providing nutraceuticals to help with your regeneration, healing, and pain control. Nothing like the Lumen Photon Therapy for easy therapy for your eyes, your pain, your joints, regeneration of organs, detoxification of the body. Get a Lumen Photon machine from Dr. Bill Deagle, NutraMedical.com, 888-212-8871. Stay well with NutraMedical. The Sonic Life Machine is one of the most amazing therapies that Dr. Bill provides. It is the best sine wave exercise machine on the planet, doing whole body vibration, opening up the muscle to reduce insulin resistance, improve perfusion, release stem cell therapy throughout the body, and epigenetically stimulate the body to release DNA activated. The epigenetic therapy with the sine wave curve of frequencies given for atomic resonance by Linus Pauling for minerals and amino acids stimulates the production of messenger RNA to correct structural protein enzyme deficiency for almost every illness. There's nothing like the sine wave therapy for improving body healing for exercise, but also the epigenetic treatments Dr. Bill can provide can help neutralize frequencies for disease states and illness. Get a Sonic Life machine through Dr. Bill Deagle at NutraMedical.com. Contact us at NutraMedical.com, 888-212-8871, or go to the website NutraMedical and give us a contact. Dr. Bill is available to help you get well with NutraMedical.
Need a powerful ally to fight daily bugs and serious pathogens? Allicin Med is the powerful universal pathogen killer's latest advance of German-sourced allicin, enzymatically stabilized to clear the body of bacteria, fungi, mycobacteria, and parasites. It penetrates body biofilms and is non-toxic to tissues. Pathogen resistance cannot develop for long-term body-optimized wellness. Clear stealth pathogens that promote autoimmune disease, cancer, and vascular inflammation and plaque and promote healing of tissues. Now pathogen-free. With 200 milligrams more power than prior Alamed, you can't get a more powerful ally to fight daily bugs and serious pathogens. Give your body what it needs. Allicin Med. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutridyne at 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com. That's 1-888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com. And listen to the NutriMedical Report on the Genesis Radio Network with open lines every weekday. NutriMedical.com, bringing nutrition and medicine together.
And welcome back. And Harley, let's continue our dialogue. I think what you're showing is that you've had decades ahead of the bankers, both basically yourself, Harley, and Lyndon LaRouche and the entire team, including Helga Zepp-LaRouche, have got solutions to these problems that are very straightforward, very humane, very reasonable, and they're workable. They're based on actual geopolitical history, like the Hamiltonian financial system, like the idea of an exchange rate that was broken by Reagan, by a previous president. And what people need to understand here that patterns that worked before and we stopped, and we see the consequences of them, it's really bizarre that people try to pretend there isn't a solution when the solution's staring us right in the face, isn't it?
Yeah, just a quick correction. It was Nixon, not Reagan.
Nixon. So Nixon took us off the gold standard, and if we went back to the Nixon, to the gold standard, and had a fixed exchange rate, a lot of the non-tariff barriers would just disappear. It would also make it easier for China and companies moving to China or anywhere else or moving back to America, because we're going to have a transition. One of the things that we moved to these other Asian countries years ago was to get cheap labor. But everything's going to move into AI and robotics. And in fact, you're going to start seeing even companies wanting to move to have market share, moving back from even China to America to rebuild in robotic factories here. People don't understand that there's going to be a whole transition in the next 10 years. It's going to be completely different than what we've seen in the past.
Well, for that to happen, you need to have a banking reform because,
exactly,
you know, it's not just a question of tariffs making the costs of foreign-produced products more expensive, so therefore it's now profitable to set up a factory in the United States.
Right.
Setting up a factory requires a relationship with a banker or a group of bankers. It requires a strategic plan, and it requires a credit. You know, one of the problems many industries have right now is that if they want to get credit to buy back their own stock, they can line up at the bank and they'll get credit.
Right.
But if they want to borrow money to put it into new technologies, unless they're well connected, like some of the people in the venture funds in Silicon Valley, it doesn't happen. And for everyone who succeeds in Silicon Valley by building something out of their garage, there are 100 people who don't succeed.
Right.
But, you know, that's not to say that's not something that's effective. What it is to say is that how many of those other 99 people might have had a good idea, but no one was there to provide credit for them.
Right.
So the problem we have is that in order to build something that's durable, a company that can evolve over time, can constantly make innovations to increase the productivity of its workforce, you need an initial outlay, you need time, and you need cheap credit. In these days, when people are looking for the 15-20% rates of return, they're going to go into the most risky speculative arenas as opposed to something that's going to seem pedestrian and slow. You know, the 10 years to get a return at 4% a year. You know, that used to be considered good. This whole post-World War II development of the auto sector, the spin-off in machine tools, the aerospace sector, and so on, required relatively low interest credit and time and people who were interested in building something tangible rather than just the bottom line for the next quarter. And what we've seen with shareholder value and the shift to these increasingly bizarre forms of financialization is that people sold out this vision of a long-term productive economy for short-term riches. And with short-term riches, you are taking big chances. Not only that, a lot of the people who made short-term riches did it by building up debt. And they just assumed they'd be able to keep getting access to cheap credit. That was the whole point in 2008. With the mortgage crisis, people figured they could always refinance. They could always sell their house at a profit. And when the housing prices started dropping, when the interest-only loans became interest plus principal, people lost their homes. Banks lost their investments. And in the long run, thanks to people like Hank Paulson and G.W. Bush and then Obama and Timothy Geithner and others, they bailed out the banks. They protected the people who were responsible for the swindle, while anywhere between 8 and 11 million American families lost their homes. Now, that's something that can't be recovered overnight. And the fact that the stock market went up between 2008 and the present doesn't mean that the people who lost their homes and lost their jobs have made it back. A huge number of Americans are still in worse shape today than they were in 2006, 2007. So, you know, we've got to rebuild, and you've got to do it on sound principles. And the problem is that you've got to do it by defeating the people who created this crisis. And there was a lot of hope that when Trump, the last month of his campaign, was talking about Glass-Steagall and talking about going outside the Federal Reserve and was talking about investments in new technologies and modernizing infrastructure, there was a lot of hope that he was going to break the cycle of banker control over Washington. And he made some steps to do that. He tried to do some things, in particular on the strategic side. He tried to end the wars. He tried to get a relationship with Putin, with Xi Jinping, with Abe of Japan. And many of these things are still in process and still could come about. But we've lost an enormous amount of time because the people who are holding the huge pile of worthless paper were doing everything they could, leveraging that paper to spend to try and get rid of Trump. And so, you know, I think we have seen that bad people can frustrate a person who's trying to do good. The other thing we've seen is that Trump has a lot of courage and he stayed in and fought. But he's now got to get this thing right. And the solution is not to listen to people like Peter Navarro or Steve Bannon on China, but to go with his instinct. He likes Xi Jinping. He trusts Xi Jinping. He sees the potential in the new Silk Road. He's got to put the United States into that process of the Belt and Road Initiative and go with that, and at the same time, break the power of Wall Street and the City of London.
Yeah, and that's a real issue, isn't it? And yeah. The problem is they're scrambling to try to make sure that the options are there aren't discussed. I even see on Fox News they don't get into these areas you talk about.
They never do.
It's just very distressing. They look like they're going to go so far, and then they just stop at a red line. It's like, oh, Tucker. Oh, you know, Hannity. Oh, you know. All of these other experts and lawyers, I mean, they're on all the different shows, female lawyers. You know, and they don't go so far, even Judge Pirro. They don't go far enough, do they?
Well, Bill, just as an example, Hannity is still saying that Russia hacked the 2016 election.
Oh, come on. And,
you know, this is a guy who's been correct in his defense of Trump, except he doesn't understand that by saying that Russia did it, he's participating in the disruption of Trump's efforts to establish a relationship with Putin.
Yeah.
Now, this is, you know, when Trump went to Helsinki for the meeting with Putin,
right,
this was one of the more courageous examples of statecraft. He got there and sat down with Putin. The two of them joked about the idiocy of the so-called Russia hacking the election, the Russian bots run out of an office building somewhere could turn the U.S. election. They joked about that, and then they got serious, and they talked about how can we avoid spending hundreds of billions of dollars a year, in the case of the U.S., almost $750 billion a year on weapons, money that could go to infrastructure, to education, to health care. So Trump and Putin had a lengthy discussion of that. And at the end of the discussion, they had a press conference. And what did the media focus on? Did you lecture Putin about not interfering in U.S. elections?
Oh, my gosh.
And then Trump was called a traitor by John Brennan, by Schumer.
Oh, yeah.
Some Republicans were saying this was a mistake. People in his own team, McMaster, said they were disgusted by what they saw, that he said he trusted Putin more than U.S. intelligence. Well, how could he trust U.S. intelligence when U.S. intelligence was saying that Trump was being blackmailed by Putin over sexually explicit videos when Trump knew full well that that wasn't true?
Right. Well, even the way that Comey presented the information, he didn't give full disclosure that they were investigating when trying to set him up for the special investigation with, we call Muellergate, I call it.
Well, Bill, think about this, what I just laid out.
Right.
Trump was the one person who knew that he wasn't cavorting with prostitutes in a Moscow hotel.
Right.
So the idea that Putin had videotape of that happening and was using it to blackmail him, Trump knew that was false. So trying to present that to Trump as a conclusion of the intelligence community would convince Trump that the intelligence community is a bunch of lunatics who are out to sabotage his presidency. So, of course, he would be unwilling to believe what they're saying. And instead, the media made it seem as though Trump was literally a Putin agent, was trusting Putin because Putin was had the goods on him, as opposed to the honest truth, which is that Trump knew that he had not colluded, that the Russians had not won the election for him. And one thing that Trump was very clear on, he won the election because he hit Hillary Clinton on her vulnerable spots, namely wars and connections to Wall Street. And that resonated with a significant section of middle America. And so that's what the whole fuss about Russiagate was, an attempt to distract Trump and put him off target, to get him having to spend most of his time and energy combating what he knew was a false story.
Exactly. See, I think Trump has three things he needs to do. He needs to fire Ray, Pompeo, and Lightning Bolt, I call him Bolton. He needs to also start listening to some of the people in the public, like yourself, myself, that actually are down here in the trenches, and have wisdom. He doesn't have to accept what we say. He has to look at the evidence and then measure it against what the so-called agencies he works with. The government is so corrupt internally now, it's no wonder he doesn't trust them when what they've done to him already. And what I find bizarre is that people will say, oh, you should trust them. Why? All the evidence tells them that these agencies in the internal government basically think they're the shadow government, and the elected side of politicians really are a distraction from the global control of intel agencies and banks that run the world.
Well, we saw this again with the statement of former New York Federal Reserve President Dudley last week.
Right.
When he said that the central banks should intervene with interest rate policy to undermine Trump so he wouldn't get reelected. Now, Dudley then came out with an explanation of what he meant, and he said he didn't mean that they should do something that would hurt the economy, but they should explain that what Trump is doing is hurting the economy, and they're opposing what he's doing because they have a responsibility to protect the economy. What a bunch of hogwash.
And then just got caught, and he tried to then spin it so that you'd be... And if you're listening to him, you say, the story he's teaching is pure hogwash, isn't it?
Well, and when was the last time a Federal Reserve banker actually was concerned with what effects their policy had on middle America?
Yeah, exactly.
They're sitting there with quantified analysis, the so-called quants, with their algorithms, trying to figure out how do they keep an unsustainable debt bubble inflated without wrecking the economy completely. And someone comes along and says, we don't want to do it that way. And they're saying, well, you're threatening our system. Well, what if your system's wrong? You know, there's a great comment that I like a lot from Friedrich Schiller, the German poet and dramatist who lived at the end of the 18th century. He was a contemporary of the American Revolution. And he said, the true scholar is someone who loves the truth more than any system and is willing to tear apart what he previously believes if he finds flaws in it. Now, in modern academic world, especially in economics, they stick with the system. They don't want challenges. If something challenges them, like the global warming fight, if someone proves that there hasn't been a dramatic change in temperature, they dismiss them as a crank.
Right.
We just saw the case of the hockey stick theory, this guy Mann, who refused to present his evidence because he didn't have any evidence.
Is they actually were selective in the data so they could flip the evidence and make it look like something happened. You know, it's very aggravating, especially I'm an environmentalist. I want them to have total recycling. I don't want pollution to destroy the ozone layer, the benthic layer of the oceans, and the oxygen carbon cycle. But you know what? These liars will want to divert you to something that's not the answer or not even the problem.
Are
Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria, from totally neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com.
Red Deer Velvet DR is an amazing new product with a patent to preserve 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones, same as fetal life, where you don't age at all. The state of fetal life allows the 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones produced by the placenta to be supportive of the regeneration of tissues and organs, with maximum apoptosis changing the tissue and organ structure of a fetus. That's why if fetal surgery is performed, there is no scar. Taking 2 to 3 capsules twice a day with oncomycin, Myco D2, provides an amazing support for regeneration of any tissue and organ in the body, and even advanced stem cell therapy support treatment. Do get NutriMedical's Red Deer Velvet DR from Dr. Bill Deagle at NutriMedical.com, NutriMedical.com, 888-212-8871. Stay well and stay young with NutriMedical. Hi, I'm Dr. Bill Deagle, MD, AAEM, ACAM, A4M, of NutriMedical.com, and a consultant providing email advice free on advanced protocols for your optimized wellness and advanced technologies to heal and regenerate you. You can contact us at NutriMedical.com, that's NutriMedical.com, or 888-212-8871. You get free email starter protocols of our top medical-grade nutraceuticals, initial testing, and recommendations for your own primary doctor to do, as well as recommendations to give you an idea of a consultation and a full protocol to try to help you regenerate your tissues, heal naturally without the use of toxic polypharmacy. I can send test kits to you as well anywhere in the world and provide you recommendations to referral of specialty clinics worldwide. So contact me, Dr. Bill Deagle, at NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com or 888-212-8871. At NutriMedical.com, we have the most amazing drinks with the best mouthfeel, highest quality bionutrient exposure to your body to heal and regenerate, and the most powerful persistence of nutrients to heal your body dramatically. We have Ageless, which makes you age less, which repairs your DNA, extends your telomeres, etc. We have Life Support that detoxes phase 2 detox pathways, glucuronidation, sulfation, and methylation pathway support. We have Glycemics that blocks the carbohydrate absorption and helps with diabetes or weight loss, and as well helps with people that are trying to build up muscle, using things like our special formulas from Dr. Wolf called Mega Muscles between meals along with Sports Energy Light. We have the amazing NutriComplete, the most complete red and greens drink in the world, with the best mouthfeel and flavor. You can often mix it too with Vitamin Mineral Mix, which is our fruit flavored mix power of vitamin minerals. Stay well with NutriMedical every day.
I remember when I lost my mind.
And we're coming back with Harley Schlanger. Harley, what's the prescription to solve the trade problem? Let's also solve the impending war problem, including the advance in so-called a missile warfare with Russia. Now that Putin is saying he's concerned because after the breakdown of the INF treaty, which has been violated for years by Russia, America now has put Aegis missile systems in Eastern Europe, which, by the way, could be flipped over to create a true violation of the INF treaty, actually putting targeting intermediate and short-range nuclear missiles at Russia. So, it's a tit-for-tat, and this is not a good plan because sometimes somebody's going to make a mistake and things are going to happen. And the solution is the primary trade. Trade trumps war, doesn't it?
Well, first of all, let me tell you that the United States has also violated these treaties.
I'm sure they have.
It's not just the Russians.
I'm sure they have. And then the problem is they like to point fingers, but they often don't point the fingers themselves. Like, I hear the old story. If you're pointing your index finger at somebody, you have at least three fingers in your hand pointing back toward yourself.
Well, the Russians invited American experts to come and look at the new weapons they're working on.
Right.
And instead, the State Department classified them as violations of the treaty without ever looking at them.
You're kidding.
If the Russians are willing to say, come and see what we're building, similarly, look, without sounding like an Iran apologist, the Iranians did open their sights to the International Atomic Energy Agency. And instead of taking those investigations seriously, the people who want war, the people who are part of the military-industrial complex, reject the offer, saying it's just a trick. Now, similarly, we've seen the use of false flags like the Syrian chemical weapons story or the so-called attempt to assassinate Sergei Skripal, the former Russian double agent. When there's an effort to investigate the so-called evidence, it's never made available because they say that your desire to investigate it proves that you're not going to accept the proof. So we're not going to let you take a look at it. Now, in a courtroom, that's not acceptable. But in international strategic policy, that's been the policy of the British forever. And unfortunately, that's become the standard for the United States now. That's what happened when Colin Powell and George Tenet, the CIA director, accepted the lies told by Britain's MI6 through Sir Richard Dearlove.
Right.
Dearlove was the one who presented the dossier, which said not only does Saddam have weapons of mass destruction, but they can land in London within 40 minutes. So, when you have a media which covers up, when you have political people who are lying to defend a policy rather than allowing for maximum transparency, you create distrust. And what you just said before, the distrust means that someone might be in an advanced position somewhere monitoring the skies and see something that looks like a missile.
Right.
And if you actually call the other side and say, do you launch something? And they say, no, you don't believe them. So
yeah, see, that's really dangerous because we have about a 20-minute lead time to find out that kind of stuff. In some places like India, Pakistan, it's only 2.5 minutes. And the problem is, if you launch, once you launch, the other side is going to see a real launch, and they're going to counter launch you. And the thing about these is, you don't blow up the nuclear missiles midair. Once they're launched, they're coming. And the problem is that it's a good thing that both sides, I think, were supernatural interventions. I talked to Colonel Lynn Wells, who was the director of Radar Command at NORAD, and he's a believer. He had his Bible tabbed to Psalm 91:1 on top of his Huey, the computer that would actually start the launch on command sequence of our SLBM, submarine launched nuclear missiles, and our land-based missiles, and our silos in central northern United States. And what happens is, a number of times there were supernatural interventions where literally the silo doors locked and couldn't open, or were frozen, had to be unwelded. Or in Russia, even the Russian guy that was one of the leaders there actually got an inspiration that, hey, there wasn't a real launch, this is like a meteor coming in, and we made a mistake, or some kind of piece of our equipment's wrong. And honestly, I think what's going on is people need to realize we need to be humane, we need to be reasonable with each other, and we need to see if we can work out solutions rather than, right now we're in what's called a war footing because we're in a trade footing to collaborate with each other, but and not to compete in the sense of, just normal competition, which is good, but to basically destroy each other. And the British like this. They want a certain level of destruction of the economy worldwide so they maintain prescient power, don't they?
Well, Bill, one of the things that happened is you see the change in language over time. Trump, for example, for a while was referring to Xi Jinping as his good friend, as a partner. Now, he's still saying that, but the idea of China as a partner changed to China as a competitor, then to China as an adversary. And now you have people like little Marco Rubio, the would-be Napoleon from Florida, who's running around saying that he knows that the Chinese are preparing for war with us to become the world's number one hegemonic superpower. And we can't let that happen. Now, what's the reverse of what he's saying? We have to be the world's number one superpower, and we can't allow anyone else to supplant us. Well, it's arguably the case that the United States, which once did a lot of good for the world, has in recent years been doing a lot of evil.
Right.
And it's because of the people who have run the country. The country is not run by elected...
Well, it started specifically in the last 18 years, because remember next week, Wednesday, is the 18th anniversary of 9/11. Now, nobody in the regular media, including Fox, I saw that the Fox and Friends show this morning, and had all these former firefighters and so on. I've actually been their doctor for years. I'm still a doctor for a number of firefighters and EMTs that actually were at the 9/11 thing. So I'm their doctor. And I know they were toxically exposed to the demolition of the World Trade Center. Now, a lot of people say, oh, Dr. Deagle, you can't prove that. Yeah, I can, actually. I tried to do neutron spectroscopy at a Japanese lab 3.5 years ago, and the U.S. State Department told the lab, you're not even allowed to talk to Dr. Deagle. And I had labs in Germany, Britain, France, all over the place, turned me down. The only place they haven't tried yet was Russia and China. So people need to understand what's going on is the globalist bankers, they control everything. And then they get what we call a valid enemy. You know, Saudi Arabia did it. No, Saudi Arabia didn't do 9/11, period. And even some of the pilots flying from Morocco and Saudi Arabia were still flying afterward, and they actually had their IDs stolen. They ended up in a debris pile. Somehow, miraculously, their IDs were actually still present and not burned to ashes. I mean, it drives me nuts that people don't want to raise questions of, like, heck, how come the debris pile was so small? It's because most of it wasn't there. It was blown away as an atomic vapor by nukes inside the building. And the problem is you have to understand the people who are doing that also withdrew gold, like from the Bank of Nova Scotia. They even told people not to be in the building, like Odigo and many other companies. Like, in fact, for example, my wife's first cousin from Amex was told don't be in the building. Her and her husband were both Amex traders, and they were not in the building. So if everyone was in the building, and including the mall, it would have been around 20-some thousand dead, not 3,000. People need to start getting a little reality check. Why did they do this? Well, the buildings were condemned, and $2 billion afford to fix it. And the Blackstone Group double insured the building, and they used that money to build the Aria complex in Vegas. Oh, no, Dr. Tinkle. I said, follow the trail of the money, right? And when people have to understand, all of this is happening because we won't investigate previous problems like Oklahoma City. We had 9/11. Because we won't actually be honest about 9/11, we'll have something bigger and badder coming down the road, won't we?
Well, the false flag is the preferred method these days of the people who are pushing for a police state.
Exactly.
And that is, we see this, I think one of the important things of what our discussion last week and what we started with tonight on the bankers openly talking about central banks taking over government. It's important because they're now at a point where they think either they can get away with talking about these things, or they think they have no option but to tell people, look, get out of our way, we're going to do this, because we have no other option. So you have the head of the Bank of England saying that we're going to replace the dollar with a synthetic currency that's premised on nothing, no physical connection to it. You have the BlackRock gang saying that we're going to merge fiscal and monetary policy and put it in the hands of experts working under the central banks. Now, once you put that forward as a statement, you're basically saying, why should anyone vote for a congressman when they're going to have no say over government policy?
Right.
Then you have the Green Financial Initiative, the idea that it's almost a done deal that if the Democrats get elected, we're going to shut down whole sections of the energy industry and replace it with technologies which are inefficient and will not be able to sustain a standard of living that people in the United States are accustomed to.
Right.
So in other words, if you vote for the Democrats, you're voting to cut your own throat. Now, the fourth point then is that you have William Dudley basically saying that if Trump tries to do something about this, we're going to sink him. So you have an open acknowledgement by the very people who are doing these things that they're going for a global banker's dictatorship.
Right.
And yet, if you lay out this evidence to people, you still have individuals who will say, well, that's a conspiracy theory.
The fact is, the word conspiracy theory was invented by the CIA to dismiss people who ask questions, who have evidence and logic, and first-hand experience to prove it's not a theory. And the word theory, by the way, is in a court of law means there's enough evidence to get an indictment. So when people try to dissuade you by saying, that's a conspiracy theory, yeah, what's the evidence and what's the logic? And if it does have evidence and logic, why don't we follow it? But they don't.
The point is that I was just quoting the very bankers who are laying out a strategy to do these things.
Right.
They're the ones who control the flow of funds. They control who gets credit. They control which banks survive and which ones are forced to merge or give up their assets. They control whether you get interest on savings or not. These are the people who have power. And they're saying they need more power because their system is tottering. And they need more power to be able to hold things together.
Wow.
They're saying that if you don't go along with this, then we'll wipe you out, as Dudley said about Trump.
Right.
And then he makes his correction. He said, well, I didn't really mean that we would do that against Trump. We would do it to protect the economy from his bad policies.
Oh,
that's
come
not
on.
What he said. He said, make sure he's not elected in 2020. So, you know, these are not theories or scenarios. These are actual statements.
When doesn't he fire the Federal Reserve Director? Because obviously he's at odds with Trump. And Trump wanted to, before he lost the House, hung out Mueller-gate an extra year long so that they could bring in effect the 2018 elections. And as a result, they lost the House. So Trump's agenda to get the tax breaks and so on to the middle class and cheaper or poor people weren't done. Right now, his whole agenda stalled because of this, and the Democrats aren't going to do anything to help him, even if it's something that they think is logical or decent, like infrastructure. What I see happening is our government is stalled. We've got Nancy Pelosi just hanging on to power for power's sake. We've got Democrats that are completely over the edge crazy. And we've got Trump that's distracted by people around him that I think are globalist Republicans. Or they're war drum beating maniacs that want to have a conflict. You don't want a conflict with Russia or China. You want to work with them. And you want to actually have, if you do eventually have missile defense, you want to share it so nobody worries. Just like LaRouche said years ago. And of course, for his positive thinking, he ended up in prison, didn't he?
Well, they tried to kill him. When you put I think he was in his 70s when they put him in prison, and they put him on work details starting at 4 a.m.
Oh, no.
So there was an intent to kill him when he was in prison. He was able. We had an international mobilization. We had over 1,000 attorneys from around the world filing an amicus curiae brief just saying that the U.S. government committed fraud over and over and over in the LaRouche case. Now, we never got a hearing, but probably one of the few good things Bill Clinton did is that Clinton intervened with the parole board and basically said, look, he served 5 years, that's enough, let him out. So,
yeah, amazing stuff.
Yeah.
Well, I guess what we're saying is go to LaRouchePAC.com, LaRouchePUB.com. If you need to contact Harley and get more information, go HarleySCH@gmail.com and he'll send you some more. Always amazing. I always learn new things here, Harley, but you were right last week and you're still right this week. The solutions are straightforward, humane, decent, reasonable, and trade will avoid war, won't it?
That's right. So I'll see you next week.
Thank you, and thank you for the wisdom. We'll be back in a moment with Betty Martini, Dr. Betty Martini, and Dr. Joe Elid, a young doctor, with lots more information about toxic food that's in your, I call it the food of famine. How's that? Back in a moment.
Which was most important because